The one thing that you have to understand about this life is that people can delay their blessings and people can delay their deliverance. Imagine this. Imagine being so far gone from God that you have no feelings, no convictions, no care, no concern for what the Lord is trying to do in your life. Even though our minds are made up about the life that we want versus the life that God wants for us. Imagine your life is falling apart and yet God is still trying to rescue you. Imagine God is warning you and God is showing you grace and mercy and God is fighting for you. Do I have anybody? He sends a rescue team for you, and yet you still don't want his help. We hesitate sometimes because we are afraid of change, or we may doubt our worthiness because we've messed up so much that we think we're not worthy of God's grace and mercy anymore. We question whether we can trust God's plans for our lives. We must recognize that our hesitation only prolongs our suffering and hinders the rescue that God is ready to provide. God does not hesitate to come to our aid when we call. David said when everything was falling apart in his life, he says he cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard his cry. Peter, when he was walking on water and he took his eyes off of Jesus, he cried out to God and he says, Lord, save me. And God stretched out his hands to save him. God eagerly reaches out and offers us a lifeline to freedom and salvation. All that God asks in return is that we trust him. Amen. We let go of our hesitation and we grasp, amen, his outstretched hands. Can I ask you a question? What is delaying your deliverance? Why are you hesitating? This is where Lot is. Lot has ruined his testimony. Lot has given up on the faith. Lot has stopped being faithful. Do I have anybody? Lot is living a life, amen, that he feels is best for him. Yet God sends his angel. You know the context. I've been preaching this for a while, right? Lot's trust in God is gone. Imagine your trust in God is gone. Your faith in God is gone. Watch this. And yet, he is positionally righteous. Imagine that. Imagine knowing that you are a child of God, knowing you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet you want to live. Come on and help me, somebody. Opposite to God's will. You do not want to be delivered because you like what you're doing. Oh, I'm sorry, you love what you're doing. And so God still chases after you. Tell your neighbor, grace and mercy. It's only because of God's grace. Can I tell you something? Grace is such a beautiful thing that it should cause you and I to recognize how good God is. Do I have anybody? You see, we don't know how God is going to rescue us. But boy, from this lesson, we can see. You know what we see from this lesson? God will never give up trying to rescue his children. God will never stop pursuing a child of God, watch this, who is saved. See, the thing about salvation is it positions you in God's grace. And so we find that Lot here who is hesitating. Let's look at the text. It says, "And when morning dawned," look at this, remember this, we did this a couple weeks back. The angels urged Lot, saying, "Wake up, take your wives and your two daughters," verse 15, "who are here, and you will be swept away in punishment in the city." Now let's break that down for a minute. Listen, first of all, God has sent him divine help. Can I tell you something? It's blasphemous to reject divine help. You know what divine help comes, how divine help comes now? Through preaching. Come on, help me somebody. You're not just sitting here this morning getting a word. You're getting a word from God. And there are times when God is speaking to you directly, but you have beta blockers on. You got blinders on. What we're doing is we're not really hearing what God is really saying to us because our mind is already made up. Do I have anybody? Listen, you don't want to get to a point where you're so far gone. Amen. That God has to go to the extreme measures to try to rescue you. Look at the text. The text says, "Take your wife and your daughters," and watch this. He says, "or you will be swept away in the punishment." Imagine knowing the punishment is coming, and look at the next verse. Two words. But he what? But he what? Hesitated. Why do people hesitate? Why do people delay their deliverance? Well, I believe the first thing is because they are struggling with spiritual and satanic strongholds. Can I help you with something? A lot of us are dealing with strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is a prison. It is a prison that has open doors. Ah, you didn't hear me. A stronghold is a prison with open doors. It is a place where we run and hide. It's a place where we stay because we find comfort there. But it's not a safe place. It's not a place that will make you better. And on top of having a stronghold, when it's a spiritual and satanic stronghold, you know the devil is involved in it. The word hesitate there means to linger. It means to delay. Some of us are delaying our deliverance because we've gotten comfortable. But not only have we gotten comfortable, but the stronghold is so strong and it's so satanic and it's spiritual, watch this, that you and I cannot be set free. We will not be set free. We can't recognize the rescue mission that God is trying to deliver you. Anybody here need deliverance? And I'm talking about you really need deliverance. You see, what has happened to Lot is that he has been caught up in pride and lust and he is hesitating. Why would you hesitate? Watch this, because he don't really believe what God was saying. Some of us don't believe what I'm up here doing. Come on and help me somebody. Some of us don't believe, like when I preach, you don't really believe this stuff. You're like, yeah, I'm going through the motion. I hear you, but I don't believe you. And whenever you get to that place in your life, come on and help me somebody. There's no way you can keep calling right, wrong, and believe it. Tell your neighbor stronghold. It's got to be a stronghold, and it's got to be satanic if you see yourself doing stuff, watch this, and getting no results. Do I have a witness? Do I have anybody here know what I'm talking about? And I'm talking about the fact that this stronghold is so strong in your life that it has you bound. It has you depressed. It has you up and down, making yourself feel, watch this, that, yeah, I can handle this. When it's a satanic stronghold, kind of like when I just talked about just now, immediately you had a stronghold. Immediately you hesitated when I said about finances, and that's where most people struggle with. Most of us struggle in the area of finances when it comes down to God because we don't see the value in it. Come on, help me somebody. Because we think, oh man, if I give that, then what am I going to do about my stuff? God says, you let me worry about your stuff. You let me worry about your stuff. Listen, if my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, my question to you is, how rich is God? Come on and help me somebody. If he says your heavenly Father knows, what does he know? He knows you need food, clothing, and shelter. So why do we hesitate? Why do we delay our deliverance? It's because we're struggling with a satanic. Satan is real, y'all. You think he wants me to stand here flat-footed and preach the word of God in truth? No, he don't want that. What he wants me to do is sugarcoat it. He wants me to give you a bonbon. He wants me to give you a payday. He wants me to give you a butterfinger. Come on and help me, somebody. He wants me to give you a Tootsie Roll. That's what he wants me to give you. But when it's truth, I don't know about you, but I don't want to delay my deliverance. Anybody here want to agree with me? Like, I ain't delaying my, listen, no longer will I delay. And you got to remember something. Your deliverance is predicated upon your obedience. Do I have anybody? Now watch this. The next reason why we hesitate, write it down real quick. Here's the thing about the next point, the next principle, the next idea, the next life goal here is because they no longer feel any convictions. Ouch. Amen. Oh, thank you. I want to tell you something. As a child of God, God has given us the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to somebody here today, the Holy Spirit is real. You can't take something holy and bring it into an unholy environment. But because we live in the flesh, here's how it's possible to do this. The moment that you and I stop feeling the conviction. And when I'm talking about, I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm not talking about God condemning you, because God could have condemned Lot. God didn't have to warn Lot. Come on, help me somebody. God didn't have to go through the measures that he did to rescue the righteous. No, he didn't have to do that. But Lot did not even have the conviction in the presence of a divine being, two of them, to say, man, you know what? I need to get up out of here. And so when the convictions are no longer there, I thank God, and I've been talking about, you know, we just start talking about the conscience, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit's conviction. You see, the thing about the Holy Spirit is that he is with you at all times, and the mere fact that the God has given you his Spirit so that he can aid you in this life, Do I have anybody? You see, the thing about the Holy Spirit you got to understand is that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you start producing the fruits of the Spirit. You start walking by the Spirit. You start living in the Spirit. And you can pray in the Spirit. But when we delay our deliverance, it's because that conviction is nowhere near in the picture. You see, the first church had a problem. You know what the problem is? They thought this was just another day in the neighborhood. But if you ever read the scripture in the book of Acts, you'll find out Ananias and Sapphira, they really did not really believe that what they were doing was wrong. See, they had made a decision to sell their property. And at that particular time, they were bringing the proceeds to the church so that they would distribute the proceeds to those who were in need. Do I have anybody? And the thing you got to know about this is this. They made up in their mind at home, they agreed to sell it for such and such price. But here's where the conviction left them. The moment that they said, let's hold back, the Holy Spirit, along with their conscience, said, that's wrong. But what they did, not only did they ignore the conviction, but they stopped feeling the conviction. So when they went to the church and they brought what they had left over, or what they felt that they could give. Come on, help me somebody. The Bible says, and this is Bible, y'all. The Bible says, you did not lie to man. You lied to the Holy Spirit, who is God. And saints, the Bible says that Ananias fell dead in the presence of the Lord. And what I'm trying to say to you is this, that we have to understand that when you think you're getting away with something, you're not really getting away with nothing. As a matter of fact, you'll never get away with anything as a child of God. And so what we have to do, we have to pay attention to our convictions, because our convictions are there to put us back on the right path. Do I have anybody? You know why Lot didn't feel no conviction? Because his love had grown cold. Say it one more time. His love had grown cold. The next thing I believe that delays your deliverance is because their carnality has damaged their conscience. I'm going to get into that in Bible study. Do you know the longer you stay in a carnal state? Now let me break down that word carnality. You ready? It just means living in the world. Flesh. You watch more TV than read your Bible. You listen to more rap music than you do pray. Oh yeah. You like in club environments more than you do church functions. Come on, help me somebody. You don't like fellowship. You want friendship with the world. And because you want friendship in the world, that's why your deliverance is being delayed. But God is not reluctant. God is still pursuing you as a child of God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that no matter how far you drift, I'm not saying it's a license to sin. I'm saying you better be careful, because you never know. The next thing you do may be the last thing you do. You know, when a person's conscience has been damaged by carnality, you know what the problem is with them? They can't tell the difference between right and wrong. Oops, ouch, amen. You know why? Because they're so sold out to the idea and the value system that they can't feel right from wrong. Because what does the conscience do? The conscience tells you from wrong. But if you and I are carnal Christians, the Corinthian church, that's what their problem was. You had one brother in the church was sleeping with his stepmama. And everybody was like, oh, that's cool. We have in church. So you see, carnality can show up in a lot of different ways. But can I tell you something? Many of us, watch this, we can't tell the difference between right and wrong because our conscience have been damaged. I'm going to talk about killing your conscience. But watch this. Watch the text. Well, it says, but he what? All right, I got one more point. I got two more points. You ready? The next reason is because of fear and doubt. When a person sees fire and still walk into it, you got problems. And there's something you need to know. There's something you need to know, okay? And it's crazy because saints, fear can hold you back. What was Lot afraid of? What was he doubting? What was he afraid of? God was rescuing him. But Lot was like, man, I ain't going nowhere. And imagine God is trying to bless him. But see, in Lot's eyes, he didn't need rescuing. In Lot's eyes, he did not need what God was offering. I'm good. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm good. Lot did not feel anything at this point. So he was delaying the inevitable. And saints, I want to tell you something. You got to be careful that you're not delaying what God is trying to give you. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's what it says. Lean not to your own understanding. Some of us have not lived long enough to tell anybody nothing, much less to think you're doing what's right. But if your life is not lining up with the principles of God's word, come on, help me somebody, then that's your own understanding. The Bible also says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Can I ask you a question? How many relationships have died? How many jobs have you lost? How many situations is just going under because of your own understanding? Now, the last thing I want to give you. See, the local pastor don't get no amen. The guest preacher will, but not the local pastor. Local pastor can't get no amens, but guess what? I'm an amen by myself. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm going to stand flat-footed and I'm going to tell it like it's supposed to be said. It's okay to say amen. I told you a long time ago, I don't have to prime you to say amen. I don't have to pump you to help me out. We cheerlead everybody, but we don't cheerlead the local pastor. Come back at 11 o'clock. I got that for you. But the last thing I believe that delays our deliverance because of their loyalty and love for the world. Because of their what? Lot was loyal to the world. Saints, whenever you stop being loyal to the people who brought you this far, and you start loving the world, if the world got more of your loyalty than the people that really love you, well, you're going to delay your deliverance. And not only will you delay your deliverance, but you will deny your deliverance. Listen, you take these points and you look at it again. Because it's a setup for next week's message. Because see, that one, those three words, but he hesitated. But he hesitated. But he hesitated. You can go into a car dealership and put your name on a note for 7 years. Watch this, by faith. But we can't give God $27 a week for 4 months. I got 9 pledges when I should have gotten more, in my opinion. But we will go and put our names on stuff, trusting man rather than trusting God. My question is, where is your loyalty? And who do you really love? There was once a man who was found trapped in a dark, deep pit. He had fallen through by mistake, through his own mistakes, and was filled with despair. He cried out for help, and he heard a voice from above saying, "Fear not. For I am here to rescue you." Filled with hope, the man eagerly looked up and saw a rope dangling down into the pit. It was the lifeline to his freedom, his way out. However, as he reached out to grab a hold of it, fear and doubt crept into his heart. See, some of us are like that. You hear these messages, you're ready to come out, the doors of the church are open. You get ready to step down, but you sit down. Fear and doubt crept into his heart and prevented him from grabbing hold of the rope. In other words, the pit became his comfort zone. Oh, I wish I had somebody. And the thought of leaving it stepped into the unknown for him. The thought of leaving the pit and stepping into the unknown was paralyzing to him. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months and years. And the man remained in the pit, hesitating to take hold of the rope that could lead him to salvation. He kept questioning whether he was truly deserving of the rescue, come here, Lot, or if he could make it on his own. I've messed up too much for God to rescue me. Meanwhile, the voice from above never ceased calling out to him, urging him to trust and escape the darkness. One day, in desperation and exhaustion, because that's where it leads you, the man finally mustered up the faith to grab hold of the rope. As he began to ascend, his heart was flooded with relief, joy, and peace. You know what he realized? He realized that his hesitation, watch this, had not only prolonged his suffering, but it had also hindered the rescue that was readily available to him. Just as the man's hesitation has hindered his rescue, so too we can hinder God's efforts to rescue us. We may find ourselves trapped in the pit of sin, in doubt and despair, desperately crying out for help. But yet when God sends help, we hesitate because we doubt our worthiness and we question, can we trust God? God doesn't hesitate to come to our aid when we call. He eagerly reaches out, offering us a lifeline of freedom. I leave you here today and I let you know this. May we have the courage and the faith to defy our hesitation and wholeheartedly embrace the opportunity for deliverance and a renewed life in His loving arms. Give God a hand clap of praise. I want to say this to you, saints. Some of us, we don't even know. We have no clue. The Bible says where your treasure is, there also is your heart. If this church were to stop holding back and stop hesitating, we would be further along. God has not given us any reason not to trust Him. I'm going to say it one more time. God has not given us any reason not to trust Him. So why is it that you hesitate? Why are you hesitating? Why are you holding back? Now, these points, you could use them as an excuse or you can use it as revelation to get out of that and say, man, no, I don't want to live like that anymore. So if you hear the